And welcome everybody to the Success to Go podcast. I am your host, Christopher Tompkins. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you are a first-time listener, welcome to the show. Pretty much what this show is all about is featuring many of the people that I've come across in my many years of professional life, marketing, sales, everything in between, agency life. And, you know, I've met so many awesome people along the way, and they have taught me so much. So why don't you get that same benefit? Well, that's why I've created this podcast. If you want to check out our past episodes, please do. You can check them out a lot of different places. Let me just rattle off some names. If you're a user of any of these podcast platforms, please subscribe. Throw us a rating after you listen to a couple episodes and send any questions that you might have. I'm going to be on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Google Play, Podcastland, and Blueberry. My personal favorite is Overcast, but hey, whatever works for you works for me. Every one of the entrepreneurs or business professionals that I have featured here on the Success to Go podcast is going to answer the same 10 questions. Why? Because I want to help everybody understand the different nuances of different aspects of business. So today I am super excited because I have the one and the only Laura Reese joining me today. Laura Reese we've worked together for quite a few years, and I am a longtime fan of her and her father, Al Reese's work. Laura Reese is a leading marketing strategist. She's also a best-selling author and television personality. She's a frequent marketing analyst on major news programs from, she's been on the Squawk Box, she's been on tons of different things, and she regularly appears on Fox News, Fox Business, CNBC, CNN, HLN, and is frequently quoted in the Associated Press, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal. You get it, folks. I'm sure you've seen her before. She is a force to be reckoned with and has really great information in terms of marketing, branding, and above all, positioning. I'm sure you're familiar with her books, Visual Hammer, as well as Battle Cry. And then she's written books with her father, and also her father has tons of books. This is like a wealth of knowledge. I just want to let everyone know, learn more about Laura and her father and their agency, consultancy, at reese.com, which is R-I-E-S.com. Laura Reese, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. That was quite an introduction. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. It was quite a mouthful. You have quite the dossier to go through.
Yes, yes.
So, okay, well, awesome. Let's just get right down to it, Laura. One of the first questions I like to ask everybody is, you know, how do you start your day? Do you have like a morning routine? How do you set your day up for success? Do you have any, routines that you do every single day?
Well, I do. They have changed as my seasons of life have changed. Okay. Currently, my routine is get my kids to school. Because unless I can get them to school, I can't get to work. So as soon as I get up and I've got a dog and a cat and they're immediately hungry and they want to go out, and I've got to get there. I have two boys, and if anyone has boys, they're very difficult to get out of bed. They're very hard to find their stuff, can never find their shoes. So, you know, my focus in that morning hour is on my kids. And my husband travels. He's in consulting, so it's just me. And my morning routine, get them fed and get them out the door. And actually, that is really important because I think breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
Of course.
Way too many people skip it. Mm-hmm. And so before I can really get anything done, I've got to have a good breakfast. That is mm-hmm. one of really my main meal in some respects, but super, super important. So, you know, clear out the way, get your kids to school, get your breakfast, and then you're good to go.
I love it. Now, question, like kind of a follow-up to that, how does your routine change in the summer when the kids are out of school?
Oh, it's very difficult. But but listen, believe me, if they're not going to school, they're going to camp. They're going to swim practice. They're going to tennis academy. They're always going somewhere because I think kids need to be busy.
Yeah,
I know. I let them play and run around, and, that's good too, but they also need that structure. They need that discipline. They need, besides me yelling at them, you know, having coaches and teachers, that's really important too. So, yeah, in the summer, they're still busy, and mommy still needs time to work.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so let's look into, you have an extremely busy life, you know, offline before we were even starting this interview. We were talking about, you know, you're going to Europe for an appearance coming up very soon. And you have the kids, and you have a lot of things going on. Is there any business tool that you have that keeps you connected, or keeps you online, or keeps you focused, that you just can't live without?
Well, it's my calendar. It's funny because I remember back when I had my first day timer when I was in middle school, and I was just super organized, and I would cut off each day so that I could flip right to the page, and I wrote down my assignments and my sports schedules. And it was just as important then as it is now. And of course, now it's on the computer and I can sync with my phone and the kids' phone. I said, how could you not know? It was on the calendar. And with my father, who is my partner, all of our assignments and our trips and all that information is on that calendar. The technology has evolved greatly over the years, and I'm so, excited with the current stuff, but that paper planner was just as terrific, because it's the function of, planning the schedule and making sure you have time for everything and get everything done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And I think it's really important, especially with a career like yours and your busy personal life, it's to protect your time from not having that crossover where you're working all the time and you don't have any time for personal life. You have so many things that you have to keep it really structured. You were talking about the paper planner. Is there a certain app, or do you use Google calendars? What do you prefer now in terms of?
Well, I'm on the iPhone, and I love the Apple calendar.
Right.
I use that and syncs with, we have a Mac upstairs, and I open it on I use the Google Chrome, and I just open. I use a PC as well, so I can open that calendar anywhere on any device. I've got them all, so it's nice to keep it all synchronized. It's so much easier than it was back in the day, where I used to have to. I put everything on the computer, and then you had to print it out. There was constantly printing it out, because I love paper. I love, I still, when I make lists of to-dos and reminders, I love to write it down. And they actually say that the motion of, if you really want to learn something, it's best to write it down.
Mm-hmm.
The old saying, if you write down your grocery list, even if you forget it, you'll probably remember what to buy when you're at the store. There's just an amazing brain function there of writing things down and having things both in paper and electronically. That's super important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm working for an online marketing agency, the Go Agency. Everyone expects me to be extremely high tech in every aspect of my life, but I can't agree with you more. I write down all of my lists, and I will put them online, but
it's a combination, and that, it's the back, because there is so much great. We used to, back when my father first started writing books in 1980, there was no computer, right?
Right.
Everything was handwritten and given to a secretary to type, and you had to edit. It was so, so cumbersome. And for many years, we would still handwrite the original draft before putting it in the computer. But, these days it's just so much easier to type, and it saves it, and it's easier to correct and everything else. So things do change, but in some ways they always stay the same.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. And just kind of going off of that point, there's always the aspect, or even the concept of work-life balance. What the hell is that? What does that mean to you, Laura?
Well, I think it's about, making choices and, prioritizing, schedules and, sometimes saying no. And it's hard, especially for entrepreneurs. It's hard to say no. You're making money on each event and each client and each meeting. To say no means not getting money.
Right.
But it's hard to make those choices. But you have to sort of, work out what's important to you. If there's an important, swim meet for my kids, I'll put it on the calendar. And if something comes along, I just have to say no if that swim meet's important.
Right.
Now, listen.
Mm-hmm.
There's other swim meets or tennis matches that I'm like, I'm just going to have to miss it. I've got to go to Toronto in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to miss something with my kids. And that's okay, too, because, they learn the importance of hard work and commitment and having a support system also around you. I'm so grateful to have my mom that helps out. We had a great nanny for many years. But one of the choices I made early in my career is, you know, I started at an ad agency and I commuted to Manhattan, and then I decided to work full time with my dad, and we started a partnership. Mm-hmm. And we moved down to Atlanta, and it really was in New York. We rented office space, and, you know, we commuted to, you know, it was locally. It wasn't far, but it was office space, and that was getting out of the house, which has nice benefits.
Yeah.
But when we moved to Atlanta, you know, do we really want to rent office space? And I, you know, I thought to myself, I know I'm going to have kids. And so when we bought a house, we bought one specifically in mind that would have space that could be converted into office space, if you will.
Right.
So it had, and I'm sitting in it now. It's got a big basement, and it looks like an office. You know, we built it out to be that. And that allows me to spend time working and, you know, not commuting, and I can go back and forth. I go upstairs to be mom, and I come downstairs, you know, to be the marketing guru.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm fortunate to have that ability. Not all working moms have that, and they do have to make tough choices.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I feel very lucky to be able to do both. Both of the things I love is raising my two kids and being a marketing professional.
See, what I like, one of the things I like about what you said, and it's something I touched on in another interview I did previously, was having the delineation of an area of your house that would only be for work. And I think that's something that a lot of people that are working from home struggle with when they start out, especially entrepreneurs. They think, you know, I can work on the couch. Whereas the couch used to mean relaxation and decompression or family time. And now it means emailing and contracts and agreements. And I really do feel that, you know, just like you said, you have this area of your house, you bought this with your house in mind, that you go and work in. And I think that's really powerful. You can kind of go upstairs to be mommy and come downstairs to be the marketing guru. I like that.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I never thought about it too much, but you are so right. It makes a huge difference in the mindset and the ability to relax, because it is hard to do both in the house. And you know, yeah, you get to work in your pajamas if you want to.
Yep.
And you know, while I'll never get dressed up, you know, I can feel more professional in a space that looks more professional in terms of an office space and relax in the kitchen and other parts of the house. It's actually one reason, you know, moving to, you know, Atlanta versus being in New York City, you can afford the space. You know,
of course,
you live
yeah.
in a one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan, and you know. You don't have, all you have is the couch.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay, here's something else too for you. You know, everyone has certain keys that they've gathered over their many years in business that are keys to success. You know, do you have let's say three off the top of your head that you feel are keys to your own success?
Well, you know, I growing up with my dad and just being involved in marketing and branding from an early age and just loving it and being interested in it. Of course I do. you know, we work these principles every day. We try to apply them for our clients and for ourselves. We write books about them. But, you know, I think that the top three are positioning. You got to, you know, you want to own an idea in the mind. That's the key to being successful, whether you're a company, a service, or a person. Two is focus. The only way to get into a mind is having a narrow focus. You can't be all things to everybody. That's not going to work. And the third is visual hammer. I think the ability these days to find some kind of a visual that connects to people in an emotional way. Visuals are just innately emotional, where words are not. But something that's, you know, not just cute, but something that communicates what your authenticity and about your brand.
I you see, something I want all the listeners to know out there, it's kind of just to touch on the keys that Laura was talking about, predating the Go Agency, back when I was just a little marketing student going through the ranks, I read Al Reese's books, Positioning and Focus, and later came to know Laura. We started working together, and also read her books, which are fantastic as well. And now when I have new people, and I don't even know if I told you this, Laura, when I have new employees come in through the agency, just brand new, coming in, entry level, they have to read Positioning. And the reason why is if anybody's listening to this and wants to understand the secrets to marketing and branding, I mean, that Positioning book is amazing. And it really helps you hyper-focus on the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing. It just really opens your mind up to a whole different concept of how your business can be placed in the mind of the consumer. And so honestly, if you want to go after this interview, or hey, pause it and check it out, go to Amazon, just type in Al Ries, Laura Ries, and you will find all of the books that you can check out. Again, I highly recommend the positioning book. It is required reading at the Go Agency.
And wow, that's terrific.
And what's cool about it, Laura, is to see people, like to talk to someone about the concept beforehand and then afterwards and see how it resonates with them. And I do feel that it makes them stronger in their marketing education. So I do believe in your keys. I like them.
Well, it's a simple idea, and it works. And it's not only that, but it stood the test of time, which just proves how powerful it is.
Absolutely.
And how companies who get it, are far more successful.
Mm-hmm.
And you look back on the success of companies, it is because they own an idea in the mind, the power of the category, for example. You know, people care about categories, not the company. I mean, they don't get excited about Google. They get excited about searching.
Yes.
You know, or iPhone. They get excited about it was the first touchscreen smartphone. Truly transformational, but it wasn't just because it was an Apple product. It was, you know, owned a position in the mind.
Yep.
And that category grew tremendously because, you know, it was so strong and successful. And they are, of course, then, you know, the leader in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a really great example. I think that the idea of positioning, while simple, is very sophisticated in terms of where it can be taken within a business. So, again, everyone, check out the book on Amazon. It is a good read. Okay, so I'm guessing I might know the answer to some of these, Laura, but who would you say that your top three most trusted advisors are?
Well, yeah, that one you could probably guess at least who one of them is, and that has to be my father, Al Ries.
Legend.
He's been there since day one.
Mm-hmm.
Great, great trusted advisor and mm-hmm. mentor and partner and dad. Just phenomenal. But, you know, the other is my husband. I mean, we've mm-hmm. been together over 20 years. He's my best friend, tremendous in his own right. He's not in marketing, but he can share my sensibility, and we talk about principles, and he loves it as well. And then, you know, I also have to say, I probably have to stretch it to four because I can't name one kid over the other, but I have two sons. And, you know, nothing like, you know, keeping in touch with what the kids are doing. And,
right.
They have such great insights, you know, things that, you know, you get out of touch when you're older.
Mm-hmm.
And how they perceive technology and different trends and brands. And I love listening to what they have to say and their opinions on things. And so they're definitely part of my advisor team as well.
I love it. Well, keeping it in the family, but also going generationally,
yeah.
I think that's really cool.
It's important because, and again, it's what's cool and part of my, you know, partnership with my dad, who's obviously several generations older than me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we share the same principles in marketing,
right.
But we have such great differences in, you know, how we grew up and what brands we like and what fit trends we follow. And so we can, you know, apply them to the different situations that we know so deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And then to see that follow again with my kids and to see how they're, applying those same principles into their situation.
Yeah, no, I love it. You know, I'm interested to see, you know, what you are extremely accomplished. You are all over the media. You have all of these successful books. You have a great consultancy and speaking career. But what really makes you feel successful?
Well, certainly not looking at like comments on Twitter or, sometimes social media can be brutal because people just, you know, love to give their opinions and, you know, nothing's 100% positive, right? And,
of
you know, that's okay. That's good. Joking aside, what I really love, I love being on stage. And to speak at a huge conference, we've given speeches all over the world from, you know, China to South Africa to Russia to Europe and South America.
Mm-hmm.
And to give a speech, talking about the marketing principles and our examples on a big stage with a big audience that is totally engaged and claps at the end and thanks you. That to me is you know, it's beyond words. I mean, it's very emotional. And you know, that definitely, you feel the love, and it's fun to be on stage. I love that opportunity, and to be well received feels terrific.
Yeah, and what's so good is that it's kind of a win-win, right? Because you feel great because, you know, there's just people connecting with your ideas, but also you know that you're helping them because they've connected with it. And it's like such a, I agree with you, it's a really gratifying experience.
And it's so immediate because, you know, while we've done other things where, you know, you write a book or do a video or appear on TV and you're giving the same advice and you're trying to help people like with the advice and the principles, mm-hmm. but you don't get that immediate feedback. You can't see the people reading your book or watching your videos or watching you on TV. You have to like wait for sometimes a really long time to know if anyone likes it, where, mm-hmm. you know, it's just so immediate in front of a live audience to get their reaction in real time. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, it gives you the ability to make adjustments if there's something that's not resonating with people. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of tweak things up. And so I do like that as well.
Yeah, no, the feedback circle is really fast.
Yeah.
It's really fast. I like it. But it's funny, going back to your point on social media, it's really interesting to see that versus the live interaction. Live interaction is, it feels like people are hiding behind their screens more when they're doing the comments on social.
Yeah. They would never say some of those things right to your face. And, you know, what it is, though, you know, because I've been around a couple decades now, so I do remember life before the internet.
Yes, yes, I do as well.
And, you know, you didn't get a lot of that feedback. And, you know, a fan from, you know, Chile and South America couldn't give you a like on Facebook or say, great job, I love this book. And there is a lot of, mostly it really is, a lot of satisfaction of all those comments. But, you know, for me, it can be just a total time suck of trying to answer. You feel indebted to answer all those things and put out so much content. And that's why, you know, having, you know, your agency help me with that has been so tremendous. Because you have to, again, it's about prioritizing your time. You have to do some of that, but you also have to make sure you have enough time for your business and you're not just, you know, checking Facebook all day.
Yeah, absolutely. It can be very addictive and definitely a time suck. Now, is there one thing that you've seen in other businesses? Because you consult businesses. I mean, Laura and Al, and they are consulting everybody who's who in the industry. You know, has there been anything that you've seen kind of happen again and again in these companies that hinder their success or hamper them that you're advising on?
It's one thing we've been, you know, crying out about for years is the danger of line extension. Where you have a brand name that is strong and then you dilute it by putting on a multitude of different products. You have Budweiser, right? Then you have, well, Budweiser was the king of beers, but then a new category came along called light beer and say, well, we'll just call it Bud Light. And then they had, you know, the Bud Light Aritas, and they had the margarita drinks, and they had, I mean, there's like 30 versions of Budweiser, Bud Light, and these ridiculous flavors, Bud Light Lime, Bud Light Dry. Mm-hmm. And is it so surprising that the brand has been so, you know, damaged over the year and no longer has, you know, much meaning left to consumers? Mm-hmm. You know, they not only just water down the actual beer, they water down the brand. It didn't stand for anything anymore. And so you see that over and over again. You know, the reality is, you know, a company as big as Google has line extended into Google Glass and Google Home, and they're, those businesses are a tiny fraction of, you know, the main business is search.
Absolutely.
You know, Google at this point in its life cycle can get away with it.
And
they can write off some of those things. But, you know, if you're, you know, a small or medium business, you can't afford to make any mistakes. Mm-hmm. You can't afford to do that. You've got to focus on your brand. You got to make it stand for something. And line extending it, well, again, sometimes has a short-term reward, as long-term damaging consequences to the brand itself in terms of watering it down.
Yeah, it's funny because when you were talking about line extensions, there's one that I recently saw that jumps out of my mind, and I wanted to kind of just get your thoughts on it, Laura. Boar's Head recently acquired recently on Shark Tank. There was a dessert hummus that was I can't remember what it, I think I'm pretty sure it's made with chickpeas, but it's used for dessert. So you can it's going to be sold in the hummus section. It's going to be basically a dessert hummus, and that's what they're calling it.
All
And
right.
Boar's Head has purchased the rights to this and has added it to their line. What's your take on something like that?
It's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
I mean, first of all, the name is called Boar's Head, right? It's meat, right?
No, right?
Listen, I buy Boar's Head hummus, bewilderingly, because the only reason is because my son loves it and says, you know, this is his favorite kind. But it's
okay.
Absolutely ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
I'm a lifelong vegetarian, and hummus is like a staple of my food. I'm not going to eat Boar's Head hummus because for some reason I think there's got to be a little bit of boar in there somewhere. But see, the key is a big company like Boar's Head has the ability to launch separate brands. It's an
right.
There's an easy fix to this. The fix is not to put your gosh darn name on everything. You don't have to call dessert hummus a Boar's Head.
It
makes no sense.
Uh-huh.
You know, launch a second brand that can stand for hummus or dessert hummus.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the opportunity is. And a company as big as Boar's Head, you know, they have the resources to do it. A smaller company might not. It might not be wise for them to try to launch a second brand. And that's
right.
Where the principles are tricky to apply sometimes because
mm-hmm.
they're different in different situations.
Of
but,
course, yeah.
You know, time and again, you see a big company, you know, miss an opportunity to do something. You know, one of the best examples is, you know, Kodak. You know,
Ooh.
Who remembers Kodak? You know, of course, they're bankrupt now because,
mm-hmm.
and everyone says, well, you know, they got blindsided by digital photography. You know, they didn't know. Sure they did. They
yeah.
invented the first digital camera.
Right.
They knew it was coming. They're not idiots. They had the technology. But they didn't have the brand name. You see, what they did is they launched it under Kodak Digital Science. What? You can't sell a digital camera with a Kodak name on it. All they needed to do, it was simple, to put a separate name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, well, don't people know? They don't know. They don't care. Listen, tell a Lexus owner that the Lexus is owned by Toyota. And they say, what?
Yep.
Now, you know, in their head they might know it, but in their heart they don't. Lexus is a separate brand.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for something else. And so that's the opportunity that way too many companies miss. They launch an expensive Toyota instead of launching a Lexus.
Mm. Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, like, one of the things I was curious about, Laura, is there been, like, one piece of advice that you think all business professionals should know about?
Well, I mean, like you said, I mean, you give everyone who comes on board the Go Agency a copy of the positioning book.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, to know truly know what positioning is about, it's a word that was coined by my father. But,
yep.
you know, now it's kind of thrown about, and I don't think everyone knows the exact meaning of it. They just say, well, you have a positioning statement, and your positioning statement can be, you know, we're a company that serves great, has great service, great quality products at a good price to everybody. Well, that goes totally against the principles of positioning of what it
right.
means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the positioning is the idea of owning a word, a specific word in the mind, and requires sacrifice and narrowing the focus in order to own that in the mind. So, you know, I think understanding the mind of the consumer, understanding how, you know, positioning works, and using it to their advantage,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, for their personal brand. Again, being a specialist over a generalist is far superior.
Yes.
Most people try to be a jack of all trades. That's not the way to get ahead in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might need to do that in high school. You have to get good grades in every subject, but not in life. In life, you're much better off having an A+ in one thing,
right?
And being mediocre in the others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a team for the most part, and you have somebody do the accounting if you're good on the creative side. You don't need to do both.
Yeah, no, I'm a firm believer in staying in your lane, and I'm also a really firm believer. If you are a business owner, you're starting out, you have a great business that you're trying to, like, get off of the next plateau that you're on currently. you really need to know who the hell you're targeting. And I think that the positioning situation is really, really important, because I think if you read the positioning book, it will help you understand who you're trying to target in a different way. I think a lot of people, you know, coming through my agency, the Go Agency, I consult people all the time on their marketing plans and all that good stuff. But, you know, what I find again and again is they have no idea who they're trying to target. And
The other thing is, it's really important, and the distinction be made between perception and reality.
Yes.
Way too many companies and people are focused on reality, of what the reality of the quality of the product. That doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is the perception in the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if people perceive you in a way, it's in one way, it's, first of all, it's very difficult to change a mind.
Right.
But, you know, it's the perception of how they perceive you, how they perceive your competition. And trying to, you know, go against something in the mind, even if the reality supports it, it's going to be impossible. And very, very clear distinction there. And people say, let's just communicate who we are. You just go tell them. Well, you go tell them the reality. You have to deal with the perceptions in the mind. And that's, again, the Kodak example. I mean, the reality is they had the technology, they had the product, but the perception was that Kodak can't make a good quality product. I won't believe it. And it negated them being successful.
Absolutely. Okay, so we've been talking about the positioning book. Is there any other book that you feel that everyone should be reading or should read?
I think, you know, after positioning, you know, it really should be, you know, Visual Hammer, because I think it's a complement to positioning, in the sense of positioning is about owning a word in the mind, but the best way to drive that word into the mind is with a visual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that gets your attention, that has emotion connected to with it. You know, action, it's more memorable. And so those two ideas together, I think, can help any business, you know, strengthen their marketing, help them better understand who they are, even who their competitors are.
Yep.
You know, it's really important. I think most people are so focused on themselves that they forget, you know, we also have to worry about the competition.
Yep.
And most times, the best way to build a strong brand is not to just try to be really good at something. It's try to see what's out there. If there's, for example, if there's the iPhone out there, you know, one of the most successful, you know, brands, you know, ever created in a category, the smart touch screen smartphone ever created. But how do we go against them? Well, you do the opposite. You know, that was a closed system, so Android came out with an open system.
Right.
And they sell more iPhones, as a matter of fact. They become so successful. And Samsung, you know, being the provider of most of those, and Android, you know, the OS system.
Mm-hmm.
But going against it, being the opposite, is the better way to compete, not trying to be better than the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I almost venture a guess. I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I think that if you're really looking for kind of almost like a process in terms of the books, I do think that Positioning Focus, Visual Hammer, and Battle Cry would that be the kind of the progression that you would suggest, Laura?
Yeah, I think, you know, those are, you know, some of the truly big ideas that, you know, stand us apart. Communicate, you know, singular ideas. And then, you know, we have other books that are, you know, the 22 Immutable Laws books, that, you know, have some bite-sized chunks of many of the different ideas. The other principle and is that's so important is this idea of PR, and the fall of advertising and the rise of PR you know, back in 2002. You know, really changed the game in terms of how people were talking about how to launch brands. Because the idea of the book is, and if you remember the dot-com bubble bursting, because everyone thought, okay, we'll spend all of our money on advertising to get our name, to get our awareness out there, and then we'll just find a way to make money. No. What you need to do is you need to have third-party endorsement. You need to have word of mouth, you know, primarily driven through PR to establish your credibility. And it's also going to require some patience. And so, you know, starting with PR only, to launch a brand. And then, you know, understanding that you get to a time where you're like Starbucks, who, you know, was all PR at the beginning, but now mm-hmm. they're a traditional company. They're a leader, and they have to advertise. And now they're on buses mm-hmm. and, you know, running TV ads and everything else. You get to a point where you run out of PR potential, and you have to do that.
Right.
And understanding that both are important, but, you know, using them at the right time. And then when you do advertising, you know, reinforce your main message. You know, mm-hmm. and don't use something, you know, silly like, you know, a Chipotle food with integrity. Ugh. I mean, come on. You know, when you have a crisis, you know, in you fall back on, you know, they were about the burrito. Come on, people. Let's not, you know, overanalyze who we are to people.
Exactly. Yeah, it's funny. It's funny when you see cases like that. The Chipotle is a great example. When all of a sudden something bad happens and they want to start hugging trees, and it's like, why are we hugging trees? Why don't we stay on message?
Yeah, but and it's even worse than that. Is the best defense is a good offense,
of course,
in the sense of, you know, establishing your brand from the start. I mean, they were such, you know, a hot brand. And they try to go so highbrow with, yeah. You know, food with, you know, who, what guy said to his buddy, let's go get some food with integrity down at Chipotle. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a company with integrity,
right,
and talking about that, yeah, internally, but that's not a consumer message. The consumer message was a big fat burrito that was delicious.
Exactly.
Made right in front of you with the items, you know, that you could choose. It was a limited menu. It was, you know, enormous portions at a reasonable price with, you know, enormous calorie counts as well that people kind of forgot about.
Yep.
You know, there was a lot of good things, you know, that they didn't focus on, just the promotion of the terrific burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, things, you get into trouble where people are like, come on, food with integrity. I mean, come on, people. And now, you know, of course, they dumped that when they got into trouble with the illness and everything. And now they're just pouring queso on everything. And, you know, it's very, very difficult.
And I really, it's funny that you mentioned that queso, because that commercial sticks out in my mind, because the first time that I saw that, the lighting is so poor in that commercial. It looks like gravy.
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know.
It's really bad.
Integrity and queso just don't go together.
Can I quote you on that, Laura?
They've lost all integrity when they just pour queso on it, right?
It's so true. Okay, I have one last question for you, Laura. If you could change one thing about your business, what would it be?
Well, that's a tough question.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had more time to pursue the many ideas that bubble into my head.
Right.
You know, I wish I had more time to do videos, and I wish I had more time to write books. You know, it's a challenge, you know, managing everything. And, you know, and I think a lot of people struggle with this, that, you know, you wish you had more time for this and that. But you've got to, you know, you've got to make those choices, make the most of them to do the very best you can. You know, and I'm just so blessed to now be, you know, working with my father going on almost 25 years now.
Yeah.
I mean, the time has been tremendous. I also wish my kids would grow up really quickly so that they could come and join me. It's actually been a pleasure. The last year I had some speaking opportunities that overlapped with their school breaks, and I took one son to India with me. And I took my other son to China with me on a trip, and that was really phenomenal, because I remember being a kid and my dad taking me to Nestle, and we went to Paris, and you know, that opportunity and those memories are really very, very wonderful.
Oh, that's awesome. How did your children like China?
It was my youngest, so I took my 12-year-old to China. I mean, it was the first time he'd been on a really big international trip, and you know, it's amazing because in some ways it's so very similar. You know,
mm-hmm.
the world is, you know, become so, you know, similar, even a place like China, and yet also, you know, so very different. You know, in terms of the culture and the food and the language. So it was exciting. I mean, I think to see something through the eyes of a younger generation, you know, was really cool. But yeah, he loved it. Although he's happy to, he said the KFC in China was not as good as the KFC in America.
That's too funny.
But you know, and KFC is the largest fast food chain in China. I mean, look,
yeah, isn't that crazy?
Crazy that is. I mean, it used to be. You know, when I would go to Europe as a kid, I mean, everything was different. You didn't see McDonald's or anything like that. It was, you know, clothing you couldn't buy in the U.S. It was, you know, so special. And now, as soon as you get off the airplane, right there, there's Starbucks. Right there, there's KFC. So my kid's like, yeah, it's the same. It's just, you know, they have different money and, you know, there's a lot more Asian people.
Oh, that's excellent. Well, Laura, it's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. You have a lot of exciting things coming up, and anyone that's listening out there, Laura Reese is definitely one to watch. As you've seen her on many different channels and news shows, and as a columnist as well, please check her out online, Reese.com, R-I-E-S.com. Also, there's all of her social media links, so please follow her on social. There's always something new going out on one of her channels, and she's always putting out a new fresh comment. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. I love talking about branding.
Yeah, who doesn't, right? I mean, I'm such a nerd with that as well. So thank you so much, Laura, for joining us. Folks, thank you so much for tuning into the Success to Go podcast. We are all over the place. So make sure to check us out on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast, Google Play, Podcastland, Blueberry. There's tons of spots. Have a question for me? Visit me online at my agency's website, TheGoAgencyUSA.com. Again, that's TheGoAgencyUSA.com. Until next time, folks, give me a shout. Ask any questions you got. Give us a rating and subscribe. We'll talk to you again soon on the Success to Go podcast.